Good morning. Jim, this week I realized that I think I'm like just about the opposite of you in the way my brain works. I'm going to be lucky to get through the first five verses of Galatians chapter 6 this morning. But I'm thankful because Jim can take the larger swath and probably finish up Galatians next week no matter what I do. So, because he's probably ready to move on, right? I'm not sure. But anyway, it's I think it's a blessing, though, to have people who think in different ways and look at Scripture differently. And I hope you feel the same way, because we are different in our approach, but both just love the gospel and love the word. And So we're in Galatians chapter 6. Of course, for me, I do look kind of back and try to see, well, how did we get here? We've been through a lot in the book of Galatians. And I think the tone began to change for Paul, although he fluctuates back from, because as you recall, there's a harsh tone in a lot of Galatians where Paul is saying, enough of following the law. Stop it. We're not following the law. We're living by grace. Let's get rid of those people who want to follow the law and want to place that burden back on you. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, the second part of that, we see phrases that Paul's starting to turn a corner. And he says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So this theme of faith and love begins to come in. But then he moved back into the sermon that Jim gave last week, and it was related to the pig, let's just say it that way, in chapter 5, verse 12. If you want to look at that, Galatians chapter 5, verse 12. I'm not even going to read it. Carol had to already talk about that, so we'll move on. But you see here, like, that's one of the last kind of angry phrases, I think, that you find in this book. And Paul was fed up. He was angry. He was tired of people trying to push the law on the church when Christ had freed us from the law. And it's like, don't you understand? But he does begin to turn a corner. Verse 13 in chapter 5. You, my brothers, were called to be free from the law, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Okay, he begins in 14 to talk about law again, but in an entirely different way. The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. So it's interesting that there was no law, no law, no law. But then the entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. And that we're responsible to do. And you'll see this balancing he's talking about. We need to love. In verse 15, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will destroy each other. So we're moving, you know, Paul is still like pleading and trying to express himself to these people, but trying to really get them to turn a corner and see the light of following Christ and what the law of Christ might be. That's what we're going to be finding in chapter 6, the first few verses. But he goes on, again, shifting gears. Okay, if you don't live by the law, what do you live by, right? This is the corner he's taken. Verse 16 of chapter 5. So I say to you, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. So the new way is live by the Spirit, and you go down through the list there of the things that the natural self, the sinful nature, what we are inclined to do if left without God. And that's a nasty list, right, that Jim went through last week. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, and so on. And he says, if you live in that way, you are moving away from the kingdom of God. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. There will be consequences to that way of life. So turn around. Live by the Spirit. Verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He pulls in the law again here. Listen. Against such things there is no law. There is no need for a law if we live by these things, right? Those of you who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since you live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. So we're encouraged to leave the law behind, but embrace the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit and seek the filling of God's Spirit. Again, you see this balance going back and forth, though. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. It's like, stop that stuff. Turn around. Live by the Spirit. Live God's way. Okay, moving into chapter 6. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him. But watch yourself. Again, you see this balance. Watch yourself, or you may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. So there is a law, right? But it's a different sort of law. The law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. For each one should carry his own load. And I think that's all I'm going to make it through this morning, because I want to move back through this. And William Barclay, you may recall, as a commentator from the mid-20th century into the latter half, I think into the 60s or so, that he lived and taught. But he wrote Bible commentaries. He wrote a lot. And I wanted to use his translation and read this over again, because in this one, perhaps more than most that he translates, the Greek in his translation really comes through. He was a biblical scholar, a Greek scholar, and he would translate his own, he would do his own translation and his commentary. So I can't do that, so I look to people like William Barclay. And what he says, again, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, and it might be helpful if you compare your Bible that you have with what Barclay translates. And what he says is, brothers, if a man is caught out in some moral slip-up, you whose lives are dominated by the Spirit must correct such a man with the Spirit of gentleness. Okay, let's just kind of go through that and think about what Paul is saying, what Barclay helps us understand. First of all, that word sin is translated moral slip-up. And that's important, because in this context, in this situation, the sin or the missing the mark is not a deliberate thing in most cases. It's we're going through our lives, all of us, and we slip up. The image is something like if someone went out of their door and surprisingly it was an icy day outside and they went flying on a slip and got broken down because of it. Lost their footing, just messed up, but not deliberately, just unexpectedly. Things came up, they reacted wrong, things got out of control, and they need help. That's the idea. They need someone to pick them up. It says, you whose lives are dominated by the Spirit. And it says in the NIV, you who are spiritual, but doesn't you whose lives are dominated by the Spirit help you a little bit more? Okay, and then getting the full context of what Paul has said previously, again, we talked about it, live by the Spirit, chapter 5, verse 16. Paul is building on these ideas. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and so on. That's what we need to strive to be. So before we correct someone else, we look at ourselves and said, is that me? Am I the gentle one? Am I the spiritual one? Am I the loving one? Am I the kind one? Well, you better not try to straighten someone else out or judge someone or look down on someone, because if you look at yourself, chances are you're on the ground right beside them having slipped up, having fallen, having been broken. So we all need to be healed before we can bring healing to others. And again, that brings us to another word in this section. When it says correct, when it says correct someone, the idea is to help them get back on their feet, literally, from the Greek. To make a repair, that word means. And it even goes into the work of a surgeon. Again, Carol was talking about suturing. And it's interesting, that's one of the meanings of that phrase, is to stitch them up, to help them, or to set a broken bone, to bring them to their feet, to nurture them, to care for them. And he says, watch out, as I've already mentioned, that you also may be tempted. Remember, whenever you reach out, don't be judgmental. Be aware of your own shortcomings and be ready to help the other, but don't fall into the same pit. You and I are just as susceptible to fall into any kind of sin or brokenness or mistake or wrong behavior as anybody else. And as soon as we think we aren't, we're setting ourselves up for a fall. That's what Paul is trying to get across here. We need to be healers. We need to be helpers. Verse 2 is very interesting in a number of ways. Because Paul was talking about law and how we don't follow law, the thing that struck me about this passage in verse 2 was, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. It's like, no law, no law, no law, no law, law of Christ. Tom and I were out canoeing. I didn't mention to Tom that I might mention him this morning, but hopefully he's okay with that. He was saying his understanding of law and our responsibility for law is a little bit different than Jim's, and you guys can talk about this after service. So we didn't get into it that deeply. So, I think I just, well, that's interesting. And we were canoeing, so sometimes it's hard to keep, you know. And when Tom and I are out, we change the subject, change is constant. We think it's not, and that's the idea of recreation, right? You're not supposed to accomplish anything but rest up and enjoy your time. But anyway, that phrase, this whole thing with law, I'm sorry, I got off track a little bit there. And, Paul's saying, no law, no law, no law, but carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. It really struck me. See, he's back saying there is a law, and I'm implying clearly that we're to follow a law. Well, what is the law of Christ? What is the law of Christ? And this is what's going to take me a little while. I'm not going to get that far this morning, because I find a train of Scripture that can help us understand what this law of Christ might be. You know how there's threads through Scripture? I think this is a really clear thread that just, kind of bombarded my mind as I was contemplating this passage. And it starts in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Okay, this is the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is giving us a lot of teaching, right? But I just want to boil it down to, verse 12 of chapter 7, because Jesus actually is boiling things down in this verse. Verse 12, Matthew chapter 7. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Now, a fascinating thing, I think when we started in this series, I pulled up the 39 prohibited activities on the Sabbath on a chart that the rabbis put together in the Mishnah. Am I saying that right, Dave? Yeah. And so I went through it in some detail. But so it's remember the Sabbath and keep it holy is the commandment, right? Well, the rabbis had 39 responsibilities or 39 ways that you had to make sure you, 39 things you had to make sure you did not do on the Sabbath in order to obey that command. So throughout the tradition of the rabbis, there was expansion of the law, right? You had the basic law, remember the Sabbath, but don't sow or plow a field, don't reap, don't bind sheaves, don't do any threshing, winnowing, don't beat any wool, don't dye anything, don't spin, don't do any tanning, don't scrape a hide, don't do that, you know, this whole list. So you've got one statement and you have 39 things that you have to follow in order to make sure that you don't mess up on that one. So that was the tendency of the rabbis, and you know that might be the tendency of a lot of us as human beings. Talk about the different ways that people think. And there's a way of thinking that you want to err on the side of caution in your behavior and things you do. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. But if it's our tendency to want to err on the side of the caution and make sure we don't violate any commandments, we tend to add on and add on and add on so that you can come up with your own set of rules because you don't want to slip up. And that's not really a bad thing. It's a careful thing, right? You know, you can also go the other way and say, well, the commandments are simple. I don't have to pay too much attention to them, and then you're going to slip up too. So there's a balance between things. And, of course, Jesus, instead of expanding things, he gives us a few simple things to contemplate. In everything, do to others what you would want that you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Bring it down. Care about others just as you care about yourself. Put others first. Be mindful of others. If you behave in that way in your actions toward others, you won't be slipping up, right? You won't be sinning. And it builds. Matthew chapter 22, Jesus is asked about the greatest commandment, right? So I'll read that section. It's not that long. Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 34. And Jesus is again teaching, and this is something that came up as Jesus was teaching. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with the question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Again, all the commandments, be mindful of these two. Love God, love others. And if we have that in the center of our consciousness, and if we're asking for God's help to live that way, we will slip up much less. That's following the law of Christ. And, of course, Paul quoted that passage in Galatians chapter 5, verse 14 that Jim spoke of last week. Continuing, John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And I think you'll see how these all kind of weave together nicely. Here, Jesus is giving a command. Command has to do with law. What would Jesus' command be? John chapter 13, verse 34. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." The ramifications are huge. You look out, you ask to be filled with love, you act out on that love and concern for other people, and as others look at us, the church, Christians, they'll say, "They're different. They really care. Why are they different? Why do they care?" And sometimes you'll have opportunity to explain. Sometimes you'll have opportunity to explain. One of the things I miss about not being on the road anymore part-time, driving out in Boston. I almost said Chicago. That's where I went to college. I was in Boston. And I worked in seafood. Most all of you know that. And every day you'd rub shoulders with dozens and dozens of people. And as years went by, it was 25 years, most everybody that rubbed shoulders with me too much either heard because they asked me or somebody else told them, because as soon as someone found out that I had been a pastor or was working as a pastor as well as a fish truck driver, that was found to be unusual. And so when people would watch me, and then when people had problems, a lot of times they'd want to talk. And it was a really good thing, and it's something I miss because I don't have as many opportunities pastoring now and not doing another job as I did when I was out in the world. And it wasn't that I was so great or anything like that, but I do tend to be, you know, I say to people I was born with a stupid smile on my face. So even if I'm not feeling that good, I see a person, I tend to get a stupid smile on my face. And, you know, so that's the perception, and that was good. And I had a lot of friends. So people observed, and people would come and ask questions. So if we even come close to loving and caring for people, I'm not saying I was the greatest, but if we come close, people notice you're different. And it's particularly when they have need that they'll come to you. You know, a lot of people don't care about God and don't care about faith until their lives slip up, their lives are broken, something goes terribly wrong. Then they'll come and talk to you. Then they'll come and talk to you, particularly when someone close to them is sick or something has gotten entirely out of their control. So finally, verse 15, or chapter 15 of John. I want to conclude this train of thought, this train of scripture with this one. Well, actually, there is one more. I'm sorry. John chapter 15, starting at verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. John chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now, remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So we may be joyful, that we may be full, we can live just enjoyable lives. I have told you this, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full or complete. My command is this, again, love each other as I have loved you. Now that's a big one. Love as Jesus loved. Here it's summed up big. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. The law of Christ. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Remain in that love. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Peter, speaking of Jesus. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. The law of Christ. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Our scripture said, carry each other's burdens. Galatians chapter 6. Carry each other's burdens. That's just verse 2. And in this way, fulfill the law of Christ. What greater burden was there ever than to carry the sin of the world on the cross? That's our example. That's the law, to give of yourself, to be willing to sacrifice, to love God, to love one another. Paul closes out this time in this little section of scripture saying, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to anyone else. Reminds me of Paul saying, all of us should look at ourselves with sober judgment. Okay? We need to know that we are the broken. We are the ones who need healing. But we do have something to offer as we become filled with this Holy Spirit as we have Christ and Christ's way of life at the center of our focus. Finally, verse 5, for each one should carry his own load. And that's interesting, right? Paul says, carry each other's burdens, but he concludes this section with, each one should carry his own load. You know what that means in the Greek, again from Barclay? That is the same image of a soldier carrying his pack. Now think about that, a soldier carrying his pack. Is a soldier's life easy? It's like soldiering on. If you think about soldiering on, what does that mean? It means moving forward against the greatest obstacles you can imagine. So there is this responsibility that we have to look at Christ and then do everything that we can to live as Jesus did. And as Jesus said in Gethsemane, not my will, but thine be done. God help us. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for the teachings of Paul, for his help to us in understanding the scripture, but particularly for his help to us in understanding who Jesus is, what he's done for us, and what he asks of us. May we truly be disciples of Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.